Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances. One, two, three, four. Another week done and dusted. The weekend is here for McDonald's. This is Triple M Footy.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome right across New South Wales and Queensland, right across the Triple M Network, live at Panthers Stadium for Panthers Roosters this afternoon. So far this round, Knights 20, Souths 12. That's six straight for the Knights. Raiders 28-0 over the Tigers. Storm 32, Warriors 10. Sharks 42, Para 22, Manly 22, Cowboys 20. And today, of course, Broncos, Titans, Panthers, Roosters. Next week, very juicy couple of games. Melbourne Storm, Raiders, Sharks. Both those games will be on Triple M. And, in fact, we have all those Saturday night games on Triple M coming up. That's all thanks to Tyre Power. Buy four more selected BF Goodrich tyres and receive a gift card valued at $100. Gordon Tallis and Paul Kent from NRL 360. Paul, welcome. It's been a big week in rugby league.
Been a good week in rugby league. Massive week. And I'm looking forward to talking about it, Anthony.
Okay. And beautiful conditions for rugby league. And a couple of big things coming up on the show. Obviously, we will talk about the Origin series. We'll speak to Wade Graham, who made his return for the Sharkies. You Doggies fans, we haven't forgotten about you. We'll speak to the Doggies boss, Andrew Hill, in the course of the show. Lots and lots of player movement and maybe a coach heading to a new club as well. All that and more coming up right here. Sunday Triple M NRL as Triple M rocks the footy. Sunday Triple M NRL live at Panthers Stadium. Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, and so too James Hooper and Maroon. We had a little bit of contact through that from Matt at Collaroy, who says that he's listening to us while he's working out and he's enjoying the music. Well, let me just tell you all.
No, he's not enjoying the music.
No, he's not enjoying the music. He doesn't want me. He wants
the footy.
Yeah, but let me tell you, Matt, stay listening because we are about to premiere on this. These guys don't even know. The world premiere of a song from a brand new act, and this is going to blow your mind. This brand new song is about to take Triple M by storm. Matthew, stay listening while you're doing a couple of burpees and a couple of star jumps, and I know you personally, so I'm going to get the copy of the Maroutine out to you.
do the Maroutine. Work on those arms.
Yeah, work on those huge biceps. Now,
Buns of steel.
Hoops, James Hooper from Fox League, welcome to you. You're running a little bit late, but you have a good excuse.
No, I wasn't running late, Anthony.
Well, you were out there on the phone talking to
sorry
your wife or something.
Yeah. No, I wasn't trying to slam you there.
Because you were there. You were out there because the discussion is player movement and you're out there on the phone finding out what you could. Just to preface that, all sorts of talk going on through the week that Moses Mbai is about to leave the Tigers. Tyrone Peachey wants to come back to Penrith. Where will Dallin Watini Zalesniak end up? We're hearing that perhaps Shane Flanagan at some point be at the Bulldogs. So, Hoops, you're out there on the phone looking into all that. What do you know?
Well, speaking to the Panthers about this Tyrone Peachey suggestion that Tyrone could be back here this season. I think at the moment that there's still a fair bit to play out on this, but that might be a little bit premature that Peach could be back here this year. But certainly for next year, it is a very realistic possibility. And then the other card that's in play in relation to the Panthers roster right now is Wonga Blake. He's out injured at the moment. Obviously, at his best, has been spoken about as a possible representative centre. But the Parramatta Eels are certainly keeping a close watch on the Wonga Blake situation. And if he was to become available, then I'm sure that the Eels, who have got cash up their sleeve leading into June 30, would have a big crack at him.
All right, can I just say, I've just got a text from Matt at Collaroy.
Yeah.
Who's just said, I'm doing the Maroutine at the moment. And he said, at what point should I start sweating? So, I hate to break it to you, Matt from Collaroy, but I don't think you're going to. So those biceps will look magnificent by the end of it. Can I just say, look, Penrith they were in discussions as a swap with Peachey. They were looking to do that this year. I actually thought that might have been the way they were going to go. But then overnight we've heard, obviously, Watini Zalesniak's going to Canterbury. Yep. On his way to Canterbury. Yeah. So that's a real bonus for Canterbury because he is a quality player. He's exactly what they needed. He can get slot straight into fullback and be an immediate impact.
What do you do with Nick Meaney, though, Kenny?
Like, he's still learning. But look, seriously. Yes,
you've got the Kiwi Cats fullback or you've got a young gun.
You've got, and they're a side, they can't pick and choose at the moment. You don't knock back a Martinez Lesnar because you've got Nick Meaney.
Yep.
Nick Meaney, I'm sure he could play perhaps in the centres, certainly on the wing. He can play other positions. They seem to be interchangeable a fair way. But if you've got a Rolls Royce and you can slot him in at fullback, that's what you do.
Yep.
All right, so what about this business about... We did hear on one of our Triple M shows, the Rush Hour with MG, we heard through the week from his man, the winemaker, that maybe Moses Mbai was heading to Penrith. Have you guys heard anything about or any further mail about that? Why would Moses Mbai be on the outer with the West Tigers? He's only been there 12 months.
How much salary Channel 9 had that bloke been on?
Well, he'd just gone via Aldi and picked up a cask of fruity... Dyslexia, so he'd have
Yeah. I think he picked up a couple.
Oh, gee. I don't think your personalities come in, Anthony.
In relation to Moses Mbai, he's had a meeting with Michael Maguire yesterday just to clear all of this up, because obviously all the lead up into that game when the Tigers got pumped by the Raiders Friday night was that Moses Mbai might have been going to the Cowboys and that Moses Mbai was on the outer. He started that game in the centres, which I thought was interesting. Clearly there are some issues going on there in relation to his footy as well. But they had a meeting yesterday, and Moses has been assured you're the captain and you're staying here at Concord with the Tigers.
The problem for Moses Mbai, and it's the problem for a few others at West Tigers, is the money they're on. And this is often hard for people at home or fans to understand. When a club lets a player go and they say, well, he's a good player, why have you let him go if there's no problems there? And it's not because there's an issue with the player as such. It's all about the money there. Moses Mbai was signed on overs at Canterbury. Now, when Ivan Cleary came in, he needed to turn things around fairly quickly, and he needed to get some quality in his roster. So Ivan went out into the marketplace and he paid top. He took up Moses Mbai, agreed to take a large part of the freight as far as the contract goes. They paid top dollar for Russell Packer, top dollar for Ben Matalino. They paid overs for Josh Reynolds to get him. Now, that was before Ivan, but they paid overs for him. They've spent a lot of money, and they've got a lot of money sitting in their cap on players, to be fair, who are quality players, but they're just not worth what they're getting paid. And that really puts you out of shape then as far as trying to get your roster together. The first thing Michael Maguire did when he went to South Sydney, Maroon, you'll know this, is get the salary cap in shape. And actually, and this is why I actually feel sorry for what happened to Michael Maguire at South Sydney, because he had his salary cap in shape. It was all coming along really well. It was all working. Then Sam Burgess announces he wants to leave the club to go and play club rugby, which came out of the blue. They hadn't anticipated that in all their planning, but they then accommodated that. So they let Sam Burgess go. They then had to try and fill that hole. So Maguire went out into the marketplace again to fill the hole. Then when he did it, just a year later, Sam says he wants to come back. Russell says, mate, find space for him back in the cap. So then poor old Maguire, all these players he's brought in on Sam's money, he's now had to try and get that money out to get Sam back in. And that just threw the salary cap. That's why they had a couple of lean years there. And Maguire understands it. The best club in the NRL at doing it is Melbourne. They are very good at getting value for money out of their players. And that's what it's all about here. That's what Maguire's trying to do at the Tigers, is essentially sit down and have everybody, if you're worth 400, you're getting 400. That's essentially it.
There's no doubt the Melbourne Storm and the Roosters are the best at doing it at the moment in terms of balancing the structure of your salary cap and the roster. But in relation to the Tigers, I think the issue that Madge has inherited, it's not Michael Maguire's doing, is that he's got this roster that was essentially assembled primarily by Ivan Cleary, a little bit by Jason Taylor before him. Lots of players, Moses Mbai, Russell Packer, Ben Matalino, Elijah Taylor, Chris McQueen, are all on very, very good money for their standing in the game and where they're at in their own personal careers. And so Madge is trying to somehow restructure things. I left Josh Reynolds out of that list as well. We all know, look, Josh is a lion-hearted footballer, but he got a great deal when Ivan Cleary brought him to the Tigers. So the issue for Madge is he's trying to fix a mess that he didn't create with a playing roster that has a lot of big-name blokes that are on more than the market value of what they're worth.
Yeah, so it's essentially what it is. Maguire's got a club there that's spending $9.5 million on the salary cap, and he's probably got about $8.5 million worth of talent.
Yep,
and it's as simple as that. So what he's trying to do is just fix that imbalance,
Paul. And you said that if a player's worth $400, you're paying $400. But how do you compete with the Roosters, you know, and those big clubs?
I tell you why, Gordon. There's a false economy out there which few people listen, pay attention to. But if you're the Roosters and you're Melbourne, you can afford to pay a little less for a player. So if I'm negotiating with
you... Because you win. And it's
because you're a winning club.
So if you think you're worth $500... I can go to you and I'll say, Gordon, I'll give you $450, come play with me at the Roosters. And you think, well, $450 is not really what I want, but I'm a good chance to win the premiership. Mm. Similarly, Canterbury come, that you're worth $500, and they say, mate, we'll give you $500. And you think, I'll take $50 less and I'll win a comp. Yeah, that's the mentality of most players. So Canterbury then got to go, well, okay, we're going to miss Gordon Tuller, so we need to give him $550. We need to go up a bit. So you start to sit there and hang on. So you're starting to balance now a team that's a good chance of winning a premiership against a team that's not. You sit down, you've got $450 off one, you've got $550 off the other. You've then got to make a decision. Then you'll start. Then you'll begin a negotiation, the rest of it. And some players work that $550 into $600, and in the end, the money's too much for them to say no to. So they'll take the money, not the chance of winning a premiership. But the Roosters, and Melbourne particularly, have the discipline, South Sydney to a certain extent as well, have the discipline to not get caught in that, to not get attached to it. So when you knock back $450 because you're going to take $550 at another club that can't win the comp, they don't lose their nerve and say, you know what, we'll go to $500. They say, no, we'll sit at $450 and let's go and find another player that we can pay that money to.
Okay, and the cynics out there will go, well, how do they get... You know, Cooper, Cronk, Tedesco, how do they keep on signing these guys? So when it comes to the marquee, it's a totally different ballgame.
Because they
get the same money everywhere.
They do.
So they just pick a jersey.
Cooper picked a jersey. Cooper had good offers, but Cooper had similar offers from most clubs, but wanted to go to a team where there's a chance to win the premiership.
Tedesco, did he get good money at the Tigers?
If you use those examples of Cooper, Cronk and James Tedesco, they're both on more than $1 million a season at the Roosters. But then you look at a player like a Siwa Taukeiaho, who, in my opinion, has been one of the most underrated front rowers in the competition this year, doing a job every week really consistent. He's only about $400K a year, Gordon. So they're getting real value for money out of a player like that, and that's where the Roosters, with Nick Politis and Trent Robinson, are great at balancing their roster.
So the $400,000 players, you pay $400.
That's it. Yeah.
You might have to pay $1 million.
If he went to another club, if Siwa Taukeiaho went to the open market, he could probably get $650, something like that, from a club that might be a little bit further down the bottom of the ladder. But at the Roosters, for what he's on, they're getting great value for money.
And just off the top of my head now, like, you go through the Roosters, they lost Mitchell Pearce, going to clear up a lot of salary cap money.
They filled him with Cooper Cronk.
Yeah, I know that. This is why people say, where do you get the money to pay Cooper Cronk? Well, Mitchell...
They still had money from Sonny Bill with Cronk.
Kenny Dowell go as a test...
Oh, and they filled him with Tedesco.
As a test winger. Aiden Guerra.
And they fill him with Sonny Bill Williams.
All right, boys. Let's
see. You sit there giggling.
Hard to explain that.
The fact that you don't understand is why your Titans are sitting in 15th.
No, mate, we understand. We understand it, but we were owned by the NRL. So there was none of that.
Couldn't cheat.
Hey?
So, but what's happened there? What's the excuse? Because you're no longer owned by the NRL.
No, well, they were going and paying the market rate and doing whatever. So, yes.
They had to pay over.
The two sides that were owned by the NRL.
The Titans, they've always had to pay over. They paid overs for Tyron Peachy up there now. They've paid overs to keep Ash Taylor.
Yeah, the Gold Coast and the Tigers at the moment are both victims of exactly the same thing. They have to pay above market value to get players there. Yeah, and Newcastle too.
And that's why you've got to build an organisation. And Paul's right.
You've got to build a winning culture.
Before we go any further, boys, let's leave player movement and talk about coaches now. Because
why?
Well, because Buzz Rothfield.
Because you've decided that we just that was boring or something.
No, because I.
Can we get the tape measure out on your tricep? Have a look at it. Yeah. You get into me, mate. Yeah. That thing's in.
I know.
That's in Mr. Olympia.
You know, get a needle and take that down.
Listen,
mate, do you know what? He picked me up from the airport. He got fatigued because he was squeezing. You know that fella. You know the bloke. You know they got the arms. You know they got the arms out the window. Mate, it was 2 degrees right down here. Mate, he got frostbite on his elbows, flexing.
This might be news to you three knuckleheads, but I'm actually in charge here, right?
Right.
So if I say
is that what you call it?
Sure. Yeah. It's an editorial decision to take us out of an interesting conversation to whatever you're going to bore us with.
No, I'm going to take you up a notch.
Oh.
I'm going to take you up.
I can't wait. Right?
I'm going to take you out of your comfort zone.
Oh, Hoops is dying here.
Into another coaches movement.
Can you stop flexing?
I'm not flexing.
It's
this is what I look like.
Oh,
what
please.
I look like. But I'm only working out 6 days a week at the moment. Come on. No, kidding. Coaches movement.
12.
And reports today in the telly with Phil Rothfield that perhaps he suggests Shane Flanagan might be the next coach at the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Dean Pay, of course, signed that 1 year extension. Do you see any validity to this, Paul?
Yeah, I do. Look, I thought it was a poison chalice giving Dean Pay a 1 year extension. I've said this before. When I look at Canterbury came in, this new board and administration and all the rest of it, under this ticket that they were going to get back to old Canterbury values. Well, they're simply, in my eyes, they've swapped one side of the Labor Party faction to another. That's what it looks like.
Mm.
And now you're getting all these. I don't want to say jobs for the boys, but there's a lot of people staying cozy up.
Can we just unpack that a little bit for those of us who don't follow politics that closely? What do you mean by that? They've swapped one side of the Labor Party.
Well, the club has been split for many years. After the Coffs Harbour crisis, the club was split very definitively.
Yeah.
And there was the new administration, so to speak, against the old administration.
Yep.
And the old administration basically got marched out the door, and all the bullfrog era basically left the club.
Yep.
And a new administration and new direction for the club.
Yeah.
And what's happened is once they had stopped having some success a few years ago, they had their board elections a little while ago where many of the old bullfrog faction are now back in control. Lynn Anderson is there now as the chairwoman of
Chris
the club.
Anderson,
Chris
Steve
Anderson
Price.
Is on the board. Steve Price is now on the board. Paul Dunn's back on the board.
Yep.
They're all back in there. Graham Hughes is in and around and supporting what they're doing because his brother Gary was one of the men that was sacked back at the during the Coffs Harbour scandal.
Yep. Yep.
So it's basically, look, I was hoping, like I think most Canterbury fans, that you would get back and it would be a return to old Canterbury values and just a really well-run, smart football club. And I'm not saying they're not necessarily not doing that, but certainly the way I think Pay, I feel sorry for Dean Pay. I think he's being positioned to where all the brunt of failure that he's been sitting there, he's inherited a roster that we all know is terribly bent out of shape as far as the salary cap goes. He's been brought in to try and help clean that up and to at least try and turn around and get Canterbury playing the Canterbury way. Now, the fact is, with this Canterbury side, they are a second-grade side. They're not a first-grade NRL side. There's a couple of NRL players. Josh Jackson should be given a medal for what he's doing at the club, okay? But the fact is, it's going to take more than 2 years, 3 years to turn this around. Dean Pay's now in his second year. He's been given just till next year, at which point then we all know the year after is when the club gets control of their salary cap back because all those back-ended deals come off the cap. So they'll get a new coach in then, and I'm sure they will. They'll get a new coach in then.
How is that fair?
That's my point, Cole.
Yeah,
it's not fair.
Mate, and that's what I'm on your side. So Dean Pay's gone into a basket case.
Yep.
He's turned them around. They're actually having a go. They're winning some games, and I think I watched you on 360 say the coaching performance of the week was when they went down and played the Melbourne Storm, one of the sides that give you nothing. And then when he gets all the money back, a bit like Nathan Brown when he went to Newcastle, some rebuilds are longer than what they should take.
2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And then, Brownie this year, if he didn't perform, and they're going fantastic, 6 in a row.
Yeah.
But I really feel sorry for Dean Pay. He was a great player. He's cut his teeth at so many other clubs and coaching. He's coached all those good young kids that from New South Wales in the 18s and 20s. And from all reports, he's a great coach.
Yeah. Well,
so why would they move away from him?
He signed a good player in Dalamatini Zalesniak. in the last 24 hours. And then he's got the rest of this season and next year to try and, you know, shape the club to, towards where he wants to get to.
Yep.
I think if he has a degree of success, we may well find that he is given the opportunity to continue in that role. I think we're also going to have Andrew Hill on.
Yes.
The Bulldogs CEO, aren't we, Marie, later on in the show?
Jump into him, you blokes. Don't jump into me. Jump into him.
Yeah,
why would we jump into him?
Well, jump into him. He's got the questions to answer, not me.
No one was jumping into you.
No, you were all jumping into me. I'm saying jump into him, don't jump into me. Yes, Paul.
I've just got an update from Matt at Collaroy. He's, he's just burst a bicep.
Right.
I'm sure you'll be hearing from his lawyers
very
soon.
He's got barbell blow.
Barbell blow.
Oh, you blokes. All right, why don't we take a break, go and splash a bit of cold water on your faces, come back and we'll talk Origin, and Origin 2, of course... what do New South Wales do from here? Do they panic? Well, probably. But we'll talk about that. We're live at Panther Stadium. It's Gordy Tallis. It's James Triceps Hooper. It's Paul Kent. It's Maroon. We'll be back shortly as Triple M rocks the footy.
For McDonald's. Triple M footy.
Live at Panther Stadium. A beautiful blue sky day in the beautiful city of Penrith for this game this afternoon. Panthers taking on the Sydney Roosters. Right now, just very quickly, the top eight. Storm on 22, then Rabbitohs 18, Roosters 18. Raiders, Knights both on 16. Sharks now on 16. Manly 14 and the Broncos on 12. Speaking of the Sharks, we'll speak to Wade Graham very shortly and get his thoughts on how the boys are travelling. And scores are always thanks to Tyre Power. Buy four or more selected BF Goodrich tyres and you'll get a gift card valued at $100. Gordon Tallis, Hoops, Paul Kent and Maroon. A very special treat for Triple M listeners right around the east coast of Australia because we've got a release of a brand new song. We're going to be premiering it. And Matt at Collaroy, if you're listening, you'll love this, mate, while you work out. This is the premiere, the world premiere of a song that is about to take the world by storm. And traditionally, Triple M is a rock, is a music station. So it just gives me, it just takes me back a few years. That's
how,
all.
How long have we got to wait for this? Because every time you mention it, I get giggles from the chorus girls behind me.
Well, the chorus, our producer
also
Chicka,
known as the producers.
Our producer Chicka is just getting it. As they say on these young youth radio stations, it's about to drop. It's about to drop. So let's talk.
Is it a chance to go to like Eurovision? Or something?
I could. It'll go straight to number one.
Drop.
Let's talk. Let's talk about Origin last Wednesday night, Hoops, and of course Queensland. Well, just when you think you got them, they come back and win the game 18-14. You know, I know they bombed a lot of tries, but you know, in the end, Corey Oates did stand on the sideline, didn't he? And the try, Dylan Napa did drop the ball, but in the end, they were just too good.
It was an epic game, Maroon. It was so fast and frenetic, the pace of it in the opening half, and I think most people agree that there was a period early in the match where New South Wales looked as though they had some ascendancy, but then the Maroons, the way that they always have throughout State of Origin history, they fight over a bone, and they dig in, and they work together, and they work off their own line, and they found a way. And it was a brilliant Origin fight back. And now New South Wales, well, they've got to find a way to go over to Perth and level a series up.
I always thought, watching the game, I thought Queensland turned up to play an Origin game and New South Wales turned up to play a football game. Mm. And as is often the way, that was the difference.
Yeah. Gordon? I thought the Blues early, Kenty, early on, when Cook was flying out of Dundee Harbour,
That's what I'm saying, Hoops. Early on, it was a club game, but they were just getting out.
Was it a club game? Well, it was super fast.
Yeah, it was.
It was quicker than a club game.
But that grit and guts and dig in and all that stuff that makes you an Origin winner was not necessary at that point in the game. When it was necessary, it eluded the Blues.
Let's just take a second to talk about that, because I've heard you say this a couple of times now, Paul. They turned up to play. One turned up to play a club game. What's the difference?
The difference is when Fatty Fulton was coaching Queensland back in the day, right? Back in the mid 90s, right? He had no coaching experience. He was basically brought in because he was the only bloke that could even. Everybody else connected to Queensland was attached to Super League. So he was brought in, and most people thought it was a bit of a joke. But the one thing that Fatty understood was what it took to play Origin. And what he used to say, he used to walk around, the whole message during camp was, don't let down your mate.
when you're in this situation, before people do the visualization and all that they do now and the game situation and awareness and all that sort of business, he had them walking around the oval on the field in certain positions, and it was, what are you going to do when we're here? What are you going to do when we've got the ball here? How are you going to get us out of trouble? What are you going to do when they've got the ball here? How are you going to stop us? Stop them from scoring. And the whole message the whole way through was, don't let down your mate. Don't let down your... Whatever you do, do not let down your mate. So, and Corey Parker summed it up brilliantly, I thought, some years back when he said, you go out, he said, you do your job, and when you've done your job, then you help your mate do his. And New South Wales, they just played footy. There were times there, for example, where Latrell Mitchell had an overlap, but because it was tackle five, he mm-hmm. kicked the ball. There was another time where Addo Carr got the ball, swept around a bit, looked for... All Latrell had to do was then take the run, and he was into an overlap, but instead he just pulled back and got ready for the next play. Now, that's not what I'm...
That's not playing what's in front of
you. That's not playing the moment. Origin is not about set up, structure, get through your... plan through your six. It's about playing that play. It's about doing something defensively to help your teammate. There were times there where the Blues didn't really know... they didn't defend as a unit. You saw great confusion between Josh Addo Carr and Latrell Mitchell out on the edge, and then they had inside them Cody Walker. That whole edge was a mess because they weren't working with each other. They weren't looking to protect each other. They were sort of looking after their own job first, except for Addo Carr, to be honest. Addo Carr, I thought, was doing his best. But they just weren't doing what you call origin efforts.
Oh, I hear where you're coming from, Kenny, but I would argue David Clemmer played an origin game. Damien Cook played an origin
played
game.
53 James Tedesco, minutes and his second carry, that's when he hurt his wrist.
That's right. Amazing. James Tedesco Massive. Played an origin game. You just touched on Addo Carr. I thought he played an origin. There were a number of players in New South Wales.
That's my point.
That I sought out a red hot crack.
That's they my point. Playing there were a number of players, but not all of the players. But that's the point. Queensland had 17 players.
You're saying New South Wales played like a club side?
Because they... I don't know how I can make it any more basic for you to understand.
What about you? What about Gordy? Would you like to weigh in from the winning side?
I thought it was fantastic. Mate, I got to agree with Hoops a bit earlier. Like, I thought we were in trouble, yeah, when Cook started to, you know, find his way through, and Clemmer had an amazing start. They started to roll through the middle early, and, you know, Cook started to find a bit of, you know, bit of grass in that short little kicking game. It kept us in that, you know, right-hand corner of Queensland for a long time. We had to bring it off our trial line for the first 20, 25 minutes, but then we dug deep and, you know, half-time come, it was 8-0. Was it 8-0? I think 8-0. It was.
Yep.
Great
yeah. tour.
Yep. And then our second half, mate, we just needed to dig deep because we were behind. And
look at the way Queensland came out. Look at the way they came out defensively in that second half. And it's, I get your point, but games aren't won in the... Origin games aren't won in the first 20 minutes. It can be lost in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But they're never won in the first... They're always won at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And that's where New South Wales weren't working as a unit.
But everybody talks about Latrell, right? That game, that great game he had against the West Tigers, the 10 out of 10 game.
Yeah.
He had six carries. He had six hit-ups. He had eight in the State of Origin. That's him. Mm. So when they talk about a 10 out of 10, that's the way he plays. So they pick the kid on how he plays, but then they want him to be a front row when like he's not. Steve Renouf's not that player. Like, you know,
but
you've got to create
origin,
it a little bit.
In the Origin at Suncorp, Gordon, when his moments arrived, when his carries arrived, he was nowhere near as destructive as what he was in that game at the SCG.
He's playing against an Australian centre, Will Chambers, that he beat
that
up in the three games last year. And in the grand final, he had a lot of success as well. So, you know...
I agree. It doesn't all sit on Latrell, okay?
No.
It doesn't all sit on Latrell.
Yeah, but I feel a bit sorry for that kid.
Yeah.
Like, bloody, in a way...
Yeah,
because,
where you come from, yeah.
Yeah, because he wasn't the only guy, you know? Like, the seven and six, you know, like, they pulled the six off. You know what I mean? So then he's trained all week to get that, and then another guy comes in, and he's still new to that arena.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Three games and three really good games last year. But, you know, this year he probably found out, oh, well, Queensland do bite back. They do hit, and Will Chambers is a little bit better than what I thought.
Welcome to the cauldron.
Yeah. This is where we have to ask the question, though, boys, as we always do at New South Wales, do we panic here? What do we do with
pull
six
the
and seven?
Board.
Do we keep Cody Walker there, and do we keep Cleary at halfback? Who wants to weigh in on this one? Do you want to kick it off, Hoops? Kenty?
I don't think it's a matter of panicking. Or Kenty, what do you reckon?
Oh, look, no, I don't know what they do, to be honest. I just... Look, they picked Nathan Cleary, who was out of form, who was... and he came into Origin, and while he didn't play poorly, he didn't... When New South Wales started to chase points, it was Cody Walker and Jake Trbojevic who were the most creative players on the field.
Yep.
Like, seriously. Like, where's your half... Your halfback... That's the key part of his job. That and managing the game is the key parts of his job.
Yep.
And so well, didn't Randy say that that's point. Not his game? Like,
yeah, well, if it's not his game, what do you get picked for?
For his because defense and his kicking game.
Kicking game.
To that
seriously,
point.
Pick a second rower.
Yeah. To that point.
For his defense. Fancy picking a halfback for his defense. That'll do me.
To that point, let me take you back to...
That'll do me. Like, seriously.
Yeah, let me take you back to the 2017 series, okay? That first game's really at Suncorp Stadium, and Andrew Fifita has an absolute 9 out of 10 barnstorming game. He gets compared to Arthur Beetson in the aftermath.
But he didn't know who Arthur was.
And, yeah, that's another story. For another day, and the Blues win that game. Kevy's won the last two series, and then this is the first time that Queensland have really been touched up in some years. Kevy went and made six changes to that side, and what he did was he went and picked a team that he could believe could win. Well, that's what the Blues have got to do now. Forget about planning for the future. Forget about planning for tomorrow. They just got to go out and pick the side that they believe is the best side that can beat Queensland in Perth. And in my view, Maroon, I think they have to make changes to those key playmates.
Well, what are you doing there? Who are you putting?
Yeah, mate, but isn't that 20... Since Andrew Johns, did one of you guys come up with a stat the other day on Fox? Is it 22 halves? Combinations or
you
something
loved,
like...
You
no,
loved...
No, mate, but is it?
I don't know.
Yeah, it
it'd be somewhere
like,
around...
It is something like that.
21 course. Or 22...
But Queensland, well, no, they stuck with Queensland years for many years.
Hey, mate, but you know what? You guys unfairly treated...
5'8".
Hey, mate, and you guys unfairly treated Mitchell Pearce. No one blamed Jonathan Thurston, Cameron Smith and, you know, Darren Lockyer and Billy Slater. Those great champions.
Yep.
No one blamed them. What, for winning 8 in a row?
Yeah.
Well, there was a period in Darren Lockyer's career where that 2006
Melmeninga put him on the...
He was on notice.
Him, Petro Sivanisiva, and Steve Price. If we don't win this series...
You're gone.
You will never play again.
Yep.
All right. But, okay, who's... Okay, Hoops, who's 6 and who's 7 for Game 2, New South Wales?
I want to see what happens here at Penrith today.
Right.
But I think if James Maloney plays really well, James Maloney is a winner and he is a big game player.
Yes.
He's not going to be overawed in an Origin arena, and he was there last
year. Is he out of favour here still, or is he back in?
It's hard to get a read on that. Yeah, he looks, to me, from an outside point of view, it looks as though there's something going on there, doesn't it? Yeah,
they've been
it looks
shopping him around this summer.
Yeah, they've been shopping in England, but then we're told that apparently when he signed the three-year deal out here, that was always part of the plan.
Yeah.
That Phil Gould was always going to move him on in that final season and get him a further 3 years of footy over in the UK. But back to your Origin point, Maroon. Look, Mitchell Pearce has kicked the door in. I don't know if he got man of the match on Friday night or not, but he had 5 man of the match awards leading into that.
He played well. He was in
the opening half. Yeah, that's right. He will be in the Dally
M. It'll be him or Connor Watson on Friday
night.
Yeah,
correct.
The best two.
I haven't seen who got the Dally M points out of that game, but I think Mitchell will certainly be in the 3-2-1 voting. He's in career best touch. He's in a great headspace. I think Mitchell can do it.
All right. Would you agree with that, Paul?
Yeah, look, I've got no problem. I think he's playing terrific football. I think he's a better football now than he was when they first picked him, clearly. I think the criticism that was unfair about Mitchell was when he kept being picked for New South Wales, he was still the best halfback in New South Wales and the best performing halfback in New South Wales. The unfortunate thing was Queensland had about six, and the talent, depth talent, they had about six halfbacks in front. You know, I don't want to go through a lot of them. It doesn't matter. But right now, we're picking a halfback who's not even the form halfback for New South Wales. Adam Reynolds was playing him off a break for much of the year. Mitchell Pearce has been the best performed halfback, New South Wales halfback, all season.
But is it unfair, right, to throw him in there now after they're down one and go out there.
You know,
and if he doesn't, everybody go, see, I told you, Mitchell Pearce.
Yeah, but you know what? If he does, it's the greatest comeback story that we'll have all year.
It's as good a comeback story as Daly Cherry Evans, now captaining Queensland.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL live at Panthers Stadium. Speaking of Adam Reynolds, just quickly, Adam's father, Mark.
Oh, the love sponge.
The love sponge. He's had some little bit of work done on his heart there, a little bit of open heart surgery, a little bit of work done, and he's...
Why is he the love sponge?
Well, no,
because he's a very...
He used to text in, he'd be laying in the bath, like, yeah,
he's just a very loving human being.
No secret,
Even love you, Hoops. He'd even love you. He'd even find something in you to love. But we know you're listening, love sponge. I know they had to give you... they did, like, a heart transplant. I think, from what I'm hearing around Redfern, the vessel tells me they've taken out Mark Reynolds' heart and put a baboon's heart in.
Oh, so he didn't get Ayrsies.
No, he didn't get Ayrsies.
Well, Ayrsies' heart would have been good because it was his kidneys that were the problem. Love muscle. What a love sponge. anyway, don't ask for Ayrsies' kidneys.
Yeah, no, poor old Ayrsies, he's gone. Now, we cremated him anyway. He's nothing. He got done a botany crematorium.
Probably brooding him in as we speak.
A couple of hours after the grand final last year, that was. But anyway, we might talk about that later on. Coming up, we've got a big guest on the way. Wade Graham from the Sharkies is coming up live at Panther Stadium as Triple M rocks the footy.
For McDonald's, Triple M footy.
Welcome back. Panther Stadium is the venue for today's game. A little bit of correspondence already at Triple M_NRL. Andrew at Karooa. Up there, where's that? Just north of Newcastle. Andrew at Karooa says, what's the latest on the possum? We'll get an update from Paul Kent on the possum very shortly. That's coming up. So far this round, of course, we had the Knights 20 South 12. That's six straight for the Knights. Raiders 28-0 over the Tigers. Storm over the Warriors 32-10. Manly 22, Cowboys 20, and Sharks 42, Parramatta 22. And that's a grand little intro for our old mate. He's part of the team here at Triple M, Wade Graham. Welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
G'day, guys. Good afternoon. How are we?
Fantastic. How good is it to be back, Wade-o?
Oh, it's such a relief, honestly, to be back, to spend 9 months on the sideline. I think that's the longest I've probably ever gone since I was a kid without playing a game of footy. So there was a lot of nerves yesterday and a little bit of anxiety before the game, but glad to get that first one over and done with.
How'd you pull up, mate? Is the body okay?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I only end up playing about 30 minutes, so it was a good introduction back into it. Had a good few runs and made a few tackles, which is what I need to do. And I look to build those minutes back up over the next month or so.
You look like you're all united at the moment, Wade, down there at Cronulla. It looks like everyone's playing for one another and a great vibe at the club.
Yeah, well, I suppose we've had a lot of injuries, to key members of the team at the start of the year, which have really brought all these young guys up. And, when you have a heap of young guys in the team, you're always going to have that that good energy and that enthusiasm for the game. And they're just keen to get out there and rip in. And it's been really good for us to see those young guys really taking the opportunities, the Britton Nakoras, the Bronson Cherries, the Kyle Flanagans. It's been really great to see those guys, and we've got a few key players coming back, a bit of experience coming back, so it really holds the squad in good shape heading into the back end of the year.
You could really see the benefit, Wade, last night of Bronson Cherry playing inside him. Must have been nice from your point of view to be able to sit there and look out and have a Rolls Royce like that you can find with the ball.
Oh, definitely, mate. When you have someone like him outside you, in the centre, someone with, obviously his speed, the burn, and he's so dynamic. Whenever I have a centre like that, I'll be trying to just get him as much ball and as much space as I can, and then I'll just sit back and I'll cheer him on like the rest of the fans do.
Just out of left field, would you be any chance to get through an Origin game?
It's a big ask having 9 months off, but you never say never. I felt pretty good last night, although we did have a lot of possession when I was on the field. I didn't get through much defensive work, but a lot of hard work. Obviously went into the rehab, and there's no real shortcuts coming back from an ACL injury, so I was really confident with the work that we put in with the medical staff, obviously, through that rehab, but nothing's quite like a game, so it's good to get out there and just feel good. I feel like I really hit the ground running, and you know, I'm looking to build on that performances obviously over the next few months.
What's the plan for next week, Wade? Does Johnny Morris still employ that tactic of just easing you into the game off the bench, or do you think you'll start? What a cracking game. Thursday night, you travel down to Canberra, and it's essentially there's a top four spot on the line when you meet the Raiders.
Yeah, it's a great game, isn't it? Canberra going really well. Obviously, they were brilliant on the weekend, keeping the Tigers to nil. It's always a big boon when you can keep a team scoreless. They're playing great footy. We'll speak to Bomber tomorrow, obviously, with the short turnaround. It might be in our best interest for us just to keep that the way it was. Kurt Capewell and Britt Nicora are doing a great job, so there's no real reason to shuffle that too much. It was always a plan last night to, you know, come on late in the first half and just get some footy under my belt and see how the second half panned out, and then come back off. So probably next week, if anything, just look to play a bit longer minutes in that second half, maybe push out the whole 40.
Mate, you were talking about Cherry before, mate, but what about Andrew Fifita? It looked like he got out just a little bit wider last night and he was a handful.
Yeah, I think obviously as the team's become a bit more settled, everyone's a bit more in control of their jobs, and Drew's been able to just take a little bit step back. I think at the start of the year, obviously with a lot of personnel missing, he was probably trying to do a little bit too much and then was losing that little bit of that quality. But he's been able to pull his strip a bit out of his game, as the sort of pressure's come off a bit, and then he's just getting through his work. And when he focuses on just getting through his work, we see how destructive he is. He's just such a big boy. He's hard to handle when he's, running downhill, and he's such an effective player for us when he's, on song. So hopefully we get more of that off the big fella.
Mate, you mentioned you've obviously had that 9 months off, but last night, physically, you looked as though you've really been ripping in terms of your training away from actual playing. Have you lost a bit of weight, or how are you feeling physically yourself?
Oh, I'm feeling good. I'm probably feeling the best I've felt, ever. Easily the best I've felt in the last 2-3 years. Although I was, it was disappointing to spend so long away from the game, it probably hasn't been a bad thing for me. I had the big knee injury, but you can ask any NRL player, you're pretty much busted throughout the whole year with different little things here and there. But 9 months away from the game was really good for me physically. I got to spend 9 months in the gym and 9 months on the field running without any bangs and bumps through the contact. So I'm probably in the best nick I've been in for a long time. Obviously had a bit more match fitness. Like I said, I didn't get through too much defensive work last night, so there's still a bit to go there, but that's natural. That'll come back as I play more minutes and get through more games. But there's a bit of silver lining in the fact that I missed so long, in the game. I was able to get into the gym and really work on, strengthening the back of my body, and hopefully, if anything, touch wood, I stay healthy and it gives me an extra season or two on the back end.
Mate, what do you think of Origin? And obviously you guys looking to maybe change your halves. What do you think of that? Obviously, first off, changing your halves, and what do you think of game one?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I thought, I did a thing before the game where I spoke. I said, for New South Wales to win, we obviously need to start really well. We don't want to be chasing points against Queensland up at Suncorp. It's really hard to do in that arena. And you look at half time, we're up by 8 points, and I thought we were really there. We really had a good opportunity, so we obviously let that slip. So, but it wasn't by much. There was a few defensive reads, that let us down. But they're really fixable, and I think changing too many changes, there's no need for that. I don't think. I think the boys and the squad there, they've been together for 10 days already. They can build off that, and they're right in that game in Origin 1. Queensland are a different side up at Suncorp, and unfortunately we're just a little bit off and we couldn't get the job done. But I think the boys we have there, are more than capable of getting the job done, and just keeping them together. Hopefully they can fix up a few little things, and no doubt they can get the job done in game two and keep the series alive.
So Wade, what have they got to do in game two to win the game?
They just need to probably, just execute a little bit better, I think, and obviously be a bit better defensively. There wasn't too much in it. You know, Jackie Wharton throws up, you know, if Gage isn't good enough to run the length, New South Wales probably scoring, and we're in a position to put away the game. So it's not the end of the world. It's disappointing, you know, the result, but we're right in the game, and I think, you know, you play that game again and give yourself another opportunity. I'm sure the boys hopefully can get the job done.
All right, and as far as the Thursday night, mate, up against the Raiders, how do you see them? Like, it's a really unusual competition so far, isn't it? The ladder, it's almost in some respects, you take the top three, it's like you've turned it upside down.
Yeah, no, it's good. The Canberra's playing really well. I've enjoyed watching them play. What they're doing is they're just competing really hard for each other. You see a lot of their tries on the weekend came from, you know, just kick chase, people making the effort to get down there, forcing the issue, and then, you know, they turn up for each other defensively. I think they've held teams to nil points maybe two or three times this season already, so it shows a lot about their attitude. You know, we're going to be in for a big game on Thursday night, and we're just starting to really find our feet here in the Shire too. We're getting some personnel back and be able to take the pressure off these young guys and, you know, let them rest up and just probably focus more on their own role and take a bit of that, you know, that pressure off them. And, you know, we need to go well too in this next period, this next, you know, month or so really sets up our season if we can get a good job done and hopefully put us, you know, into that top four come the end of the year.
You're up against Johnny Bateman. You're on his side?
Yeah, he's a good player, Johnny, isn't he? Yeah. I played him in the World Cup at the end of 16 or start of 17, however it worked, and I didn't really know much about him before the game, but I'll tell you what, after the game, I knew a hell of a lot about him. He's a great player. Come up against him again in the World Cup two seasons ago. He was playing in the centres for England, so he's playing in the back row in the NRL. He plays in the centres for his country, shows, you know, the quality about him, and he's doing a great job at the start of his NRL career, so looking forward to it.
Hey, Wade, you know what? Not enough has been said about your coach at club level, Johnny Morris. You blokes have had half a dozen of your finest players out. All season you've had top-level players injured, but you've knocked over some big scalps. You're still right up there in the running, and you're about to get all these players back. Talk us through a little bit of John Morris.
Yeah, I think with Johnny, what you see is what you get. He's really calm. He enjoys the coaching room. Your coach is really, you know, similar to how he played his career. He's very organised. We're very prepared as a team. He gives us all the tools we need to, you know, give ourselves the best chance to play a good game on the weekend. And I think the biggest thing for Bomo already, he's shown that he's not afraid to pull the trigger on, you know, give a young guy a debut, you know, move a senior player out of position to make way for someone else, or He's shown that he's not afraid to pull the trigger to do what's best for the team, and I think the boys are all bought into that, and we all got a lot of respect for Johnny, so he's doing a tremendous job.
Good on you, Wade. Good to catch up, mate. And of course, yeah, that big game coming up against the Raiders. We will have that game live on the Triple M network. So, Wade Graham, all the best, mate, and here's to your continued success with the Sharkies.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me. Good luck today.
Good on you, mate. Sunday Triple M NRL. Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, Hoops, Maroon. We are live at Panthers Stadium. Still to come, we'll speak to Dogs boss Andrew Hill on their latest signing, Dallin Watini-Zalesniak. Talk about the Storms win. Gordy's got I Call BS. And look, we get so much correspondence about Paul Kent's possum. The thing that interests people, we'll get a possum update from Paul as well as Triple M rocks the footy.